hello there, neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 102, this November 30th, 2004, and we're recording as we speak at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
That's right, on this last big rainy day of November.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Hi, Tom.
Don Patterson?
Yes, sir. How's everything in Burke?
Oh, everything is just wet in Burke, Texas, today. My name's Tom Houston, but ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here's Phil Parr. I love doing that.
I couldn't decide whether we hadn't decided who was going to do the introduction, so I just assumed you'd know you were, so we just faded things in and
hoped for the best.
And hoped for the best. Well, it's we've had a lot of rain in Lufkin. I don't mean a little rain, folks.
We really have.
We're now at 72 something inches of rain, and we normally get about 40 inches of rain in Lufkin. So we're I mean, it's that much. So it's raining today. It's not raining exactly raining right now, but it has been raining all day, and it's just miserable, and it's just, I don't know.
It'll as cold as it's going to get, if we got any precipitation at all, it'll probably turn into sleet.
But anyway, how about those Lufkin Panthers, folks?
Hey, all right.
I love the Panthers. They're tough.
Going to state, playing 13-0.
Well, this is the quarterfinal. This is not the state.
Oh, this is not state?
Is it, Tom? Is this the state?
No. They've got a couple more games to win,
I think.
Yeah,
this is like the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Then they go to the finals, and then the championship. About three more games if they make it.
That's what they
said. All right.
That's what my brother-in-law said. Three more, so we could play through the 18th of December.
They're 13-0. There's not but two or three other teams in the state that are undefeated.
And it hadn't been that long ago since we had a state championship.
Two years ago.
2 years ago, okay. And I watched the quarterback, Reggie McNeil, that played for them that year, Friday.
With A&M,
With A&M, I sure did. Yeah.
That was a pretty shabby game.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Texas is tough.
Yes, you're right.
And McNeil doesn't have any offensive line to help him. He gave them credit. He didn't talk bad about them, but they really let him down, his own offensive line.
He needs a little help, you're right.
He does.
Huh. But anyway, he plays for A&M, which is our Agricultural Mechanical College here in Texas. They don't have those up north? Maybe they don't have those up north. They don't care about those things like that.
I think every state had some. They were like land-grant colleges.
Yeah, I thought so. That's what I was thinking.
A lot of them are different names. They're not like usually some of your state's colleges are the ag schools. Like.
Anyway, this is our ag college, and they lost miserably to the university. It's a big Thanksgiving rivalry on Thanksgiving Day. They play our University of Texas, and how many University of Texas wins almost every year, don't they?
Well, they've done pretty well here lately.
The last few years, they've done real well.
Of course, and the interest in that game is that A&M, a lot of Lufkin kids go over there, the football players. We got Jaworski Lane, our star running back, has already signed a letter with A&M.
So. And as we said, our former star, Reggie McNeil, is their quarterback now.
Is their quarterback, yeah.
And he's going to end up in the pros, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. They're just waiting on him. I wouldn't be surprised. I just wonder if he'll finish his last year.
Is he a sophomore or junior?
Junior.
He's a junior, yeah. But he's been on the team in some form since he was a freshman, hadn't he?
Well, he was a red shirt, I think.
Yeah, he played under R.C. Slocum. And I don't believe he was starting under R.C. Slocum, but he's starting now.
Anyway, welcome to Fox Sports. I'm Phil Parr. ESPN.
Blind Handyman Sports.
Blind Handyman Sports. You could do it, you know. That's what we ought to do probably once a month. Anyway, Tommy has some email. You do have some email?
Yes, sir. I sure do. Here's this from Keith. He says, can anyone recommend an accurate and affordable talking tape measure? If you would mention how you find the device you use measuring distances to an eighth of an inch, that would be great. I'm interested in advice that will allow me to measure distances between the blades and the fence on my table saw. And would also be needed to measure out the lengths of distances along a wall or floor that may not be exactly smooth. I'm about to build a patio on my house, and I wanted to be able to run along the stucco as well as along the concrete. I'm getting tired of asking for help making measurements it would be great to be able to do more on my own.
I think most blind catalogs now have that measuring tape I have, don't they? It's about $130, $40, depending on where you buy it. I'm sure IRTI has it. I'm sure LS&S has it. Don't you think so?
Yeah. Cobalt, they've been talking about, is a place that's got it, or the manufacturer that sells it, and, yeah, a lot of places. And, yeah, you can talk more about that than we can. You're the guy that's got the tapes.
Well, it's accurate as you want it to be, measuring those kind of little things. Now, we did talk about if you're going to measure between your fence and your table saw, the best thing to do is make you some blocks, like a quarter-inch block and a half-inch block and a three-quarter-inch block and an inch block, and with that you can measure about anything, you know, maybe a 2 and a 3 and a 4. But that you can measure anything. If you want, you know, 3 and a quarter, you put 3 1-inch blocks and your quarter-inch block together, and then you don't have to worry about this silly measuring tape. That would be the easiest way for me to do that.
Yeah, easy, quick way.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
To get the distance between the blade and the...
Do what, Pat?
Well, I was just going to say, too, and on using that table saw, and I wouldn't want to be making too fine a cuts, you know.
Yeah.
He also mentioned staying level. I guess he may be going to add this patio or something on the side.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So you're back into your audible level. We don't know that they make a talking one, but we know that they make one that beeps if you're high or low.
Yeah, because I've got one.
Has a different sound there.
It'll give you one tone one way and one tone the other way. So, those are, and I think those are in most catalogs now. So there's no real catalog for adaptive tools. I bet, wonder if Dale, does Dale have this stuff?
Yeah, in fact, Blind Mice Smart, I think, may actually sell this product. So
this level or the measuring tape? Which one?
The tape.
The tape measure.
And I'm not sure even about the level.
Well, that would be our recommendation, would be our friend Dale Campbell at Blind Mice.
There was another recommendation on the list.
All right.
And he says, I have a talking tape measure, which I bought from MaxiAids.
Yeah.
There's another one.
$89 a few months ago. It's very accurate. It measures both in inches and centimeters. It shuts off after 5 seconds if you're not using it to save batteries.
Okay.
The only problem is that it does not have an off switch that you can control.
That's the same one I have, because it's shutting off in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, he says this is particularly annoying if you have a sighted partner who may need to use it from time to time. And whenever my fiance tries to use it, she has to take the battery off so that it won't keep talking.
It needs to have a shut-off switch, doesn't it?
Well,
MaxiAids, that's a different one, isn't it?
Well, MaxiAids, if they sell it for $89, that's the cheapest I've ever seen.
That's a fine price.
I may buy another one for that price. For $89. But the thing about it is, buy your girlfriend, your fiancé, a regular measuring tape. Don't make her use your talking. You know, just buy her a regular non-battery.
Well, yeah,
and
that's
those
pretty
are cheap,
reasonable.
So, yeah.
Most anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, does anyone know why shingles on a roof would curl up more in one area than another? Was it the original application or nailing process?
Boy, that's a Dale Campbell question, isn't it?
I think he wrote a short story on it on the list.
They have talked
He did, wrote some good information on that.
Yeah, about they have talked at length about this, and I think they finally decided that they were applied wrong or that heat buckled them, didn't they?
Yeah, that was the outcome of it. Sure was. Age, he said, could curl shingles sometimes. And, just the age and they get brittle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Heat, I guess, mostly. And, lots of discussions about ridge row vents and heat and different things affecting the shingles.
Now, that's what Gordon Mitchell, answered on the list. He said, I believe that you will find that one of the reasons for shingles curling when they are not too old is that there's some heat escaping from the house right under the shingles. So the attic insulation may be light in this area or this area. With the curling shingles might be right over the attic trap door, which is usually not insulated as well as the rest of the attic. Certainly the sun's heat will be responsible for a good deal of the curling, but check the attic for escaping heat. Hope this helps.
Yeah, and there's another thing I could add here. You know, and the reason why I became aware of this, because it happened to me, I had a new roof put on a house here Oh, well, now it's like 7 years, but right after we bought the house, we put a new roof on. And, of course, these weren't the most reputable folks in town, and so
yeah.
a couple of years later, I lost some shingles and had some. And on shingles, there is a strip of tar that, as the sun over time heats and heats up the shingles, it will stick to the shingle below. That's designed to do that. But there's also a little protective film, cellophane film, that comes on the new shingles. And if that's not removed, of course, all of this action is for naught. It doesn't stick. And so if that could be a problem, too, if you don't...
In other words, the roofer guy didn't remove the little cellophane film
like he's supposed to on all of them. And so in my case, the shingles just came, they did not stick, and they could buckle there. But he'd also failed to staple some in a couple of places.
Man.
So...
I think he's dead.
Well, I know one thing. I was almost. That's when I had to hang my ladder up there and do that.
That's when you hung your ladder from the rope on the roof or some silly stuff that you did.
Yeah, and tied it off to the tractor on the other side, the riding lawnmower.
We're not doing that anymore, are we?
No, sir.
We don't do that. The guy can't even put his short, I guess, will. We don't need to get into that. But anyway, you won't be doing that anymore. All right, shingles curling up. The answer on the list was heat escaping from the house, right?
Yeah. Probably heat was the overall answer.
All right, sure. Go ahead. You got another?
Okay, I've got one more here. It says, "Hi, everyone. I tried to update my subscription with Norton without success. What can I do to protect myself while I try to resolve the Norton problem?" This is an antivirus protection. "If there is a good low-cost virus software I can download, do I need to uninstall all of Norton's components?" That's from Darla.
Well, yeah, good luck uninstalling all of Norton, because that can be a major project in itself. That's the problem when you uninstall Norton, and I know because I had my round with them. When you try to uninstall Norton, it's just really difficult to install everything. Add and remove programs will take a lot of Norton away, but it won't take all of it. And then you've got to go in manually and remove the rest of the Norton folders, which they're kind of difficult to find. I use an antivirus program called FPROD, F-P-R-O-D, and it's a good antivirus program. I've had good luck with it. It's $30 a year and gives you up to, I believe, 10 computers. I like it. Had trouble with Norton, so I just said, to hell with them, and went on to something else, went on down the road. There's a couple of free antivirus programs. One of them is AVG Antivirus, and it's a good program, and it won't cost you anything. So
I want you to know he brought Norton to their knees.
Well, you know it. Yeah, you know they're suffering right now.
We went through the same thing Sunday trying to install the new. We actually bought Norton's on a disc this time so that we'd have it. It's because we've got a half dozen computers we need it on. So she ordered it on a CD, and it came in. But you couldn't install the new until you uninstalled all the old versions. There must have been a half dozen old versions lurking.
Yeah.
Just different. She had to go in the registry three times.
It's hard to get rid of it.
It's a mess to get rid of.
Yeah. A regular old run-of-the-mill guy like me on a computer probably couldn't do it. Probably wouldn't have enough computer knowledge to do it.
Well, you probably would because you can see. But for a blind guy, it would be because you wouldn't know. Because once you know, the JAWS won't read the registry, will it?
I don't think so, not very well. And that's the thing, it scatters files just everywhere.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it.
So, you know, I don't know if McAfee's does the same thing, but then we had a fight with McAfee's. We bought McAfee's one time, then we upgraded the operating system and lost it, and they denied that we'd ever bought it. So I don't know what, you know.
Sounds like Jaws, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's
the same kind of deal.
I use McAfee, and McAfee has been doing good for me lately. I'm happy with it so far.
Hang on, let me see.
They send me a bill every year for $30-something, I think.
Oh, sure. They'll do that now for the updates.
And every now and then it'll pop up on the screen and say that it wants to scan for viruses, so I just let it do it the other day. And it did pick up three things that I needed to get rid of.
All right.
Also, along with this antivirus stuff, you need to run AdAware and SpyBot.
Yep.
Yes,
if you don't, you eventually, and you go fool around on the web enough, eventually your computer will just completely lock up.
It'll get loaded down, with all that spyware.
You'll have so much spyware on there that your computer will no longer function, Copenhagen, just to have that. Luann had to go up and run it on theirs and found, I think, 700 and something.
Oh, yeah, I bet. If it hadn't been done before, I bet, yeah. Man, there was a load of
it. Man, and it was just slow. And, I mean, it was working, but it was just real.
Oh, yeah, it'll slow everything down a lot.
I was going to download a screensaver one time with a little aquarium to be on my screen.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And by the time I started downloading it, I realized that I had messed up. So I canceled it. And I went to Adware and ran it immediately. And I had 92 cookies already there.
That is unreal. Just from that one application.
Just one time. Because I hadn't been wrong since I had all run it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew it didn't have any at that time. So 92 just in just a very short period of time.
So they're wanting in your computer. They want to be there where they can sell you things or know what you're doing.
Yeah.
They want to know where you go.
Especially if you got a broadband connection. You know, you're just a target.
A sitting
need that
job.
Firewall. That's right.
Oh, you got to have that firewall. If you don't have a firewall and virus protection, run Adware. You know, it's a shame that we've come to this.
It is.
Internet.
It really is.
Our wonderful internet is just, I mean, it's just, you know.
There's
got to be
folks.
I
don't think I have any of this stuff.
Well, you don't have any antivirus?
I had whatever came on our computer. Did something come on?
Yeah, long ago that's way out of date, huh? Yeah,
that's it.
That's the one, huh?
Well, I mean, you can...
Consolidated has some pretty good spyware, though, I think, running. And also, like, the junk mail. I get very little junk mail, and they're corralling that real
well. Yeah, they have a good junk mail filter,
and,
I think.
So I haven't so far.
You can...
I get very few pop-ups. Hardly
you can
any
brag about not having any antivirus, but one of these days.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I guess I probably better.
You better get
it may be time to update here a little bit.
It'll, you know, I didn't think it would happen to me, and I opened, and I think it was something from somebody I knew that had a virus. This has been a couple of years ago. Somebody that I, you know, that I trusted and knew. And
oh, yeah, they can go from one address book to the other.
Well, we must have something on the computer because Emily was going to open something. We use the same computer, and it stopped it. It says this thing has a virus. Recommend not to open. So
yeah.
Anyway, so you got something.
Yeah,
okay. All right, Tommy.
Well, that's it for my end.
Let you go and call our guest. William Miller, and it isn't raining. You want to come on up and have a beer? I guess not. Do that. All right. Well, we'll visit with you in a day or two, sir.
Okay. Y'all take it easy.
Thank you, Tom. Back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
love
to a warmer
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
To find. Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
He's right. So far, it has been a labor of love. Let's see. Have I got you up, Shaw? Let's see.
Hello.
Let's see. Shaw's up. I'm going to throw this down and this down. Patterson, are you there?
I hear headphones. Yeah, I'm right here.
His headphones. All right. Well, let's introduce William Miller from somewhere in Ohio, aren't you?
Yeah, Toronto.
Spell that for me.
T-O-R-O-N-T-O.
Oh, and that's in what part of it? Where in Ohio?
Northeast. I'm right on the river.
So it's cold up there, isn't it?
That's chilly today.
We're complaining about our cold.
Yeah.
It's probably 48 here. What is it there?
I think it hit 50 today.
Oh, really?
Well, kind of about the same.
What a deal. So about the same.
Yep.
Well, let's see. We were talking a minute ago, and we had gotten a clock from you one time that you made, didn't you? Don't you make clocks also?
Yes. Yep.
I believe you sent one to Don Shaw that we...
Yeah, a very nice clock.
...looked at. And so you're quite involved in woodworking, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I just started working with a different type of wood last week.
Okay. What kind of wood?
Osage orange.
Where'd you get that?
A friend of mine. Someone gave it to him. It's been sitting for like 10 years.
And he said, well, you know, William could use this, so he brought it to you.
Yeah, it brought me a piece of it, and I liked working with it.
Yeah.
It's actually orange.
It's actually orange in color?
Yeah.
Do you have some sight?
No.
No, so somebody told you that then?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's actually orange in color.
Is this from like the fruit tree, or is this just how did it come by its name?
I don't know if you're familiar with. It's almost as big as rounds an orange. Up here we call them a monkey ball tree.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's what they sit around in basements to keep spiders away.
Okay. And so is this a hardwood? A member of the hardwood family?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's got a grain. Like oak, but not as coarse.
Right, okay.
And it's hard like maple.
Uh-huh. And it came to you in what form? It's just a big, flat piece of wood or a limb or what is it?
Yeah, it was all rough cut.
Just all rough cut. How are you going to handle that?
Well, I ran it through my planer and got it down to a little more than 3/4.
Uh-huh.
Then I put it through my drum sander.
So you've got a planer?
Yes.
You got a great setup.
You do, man. We don't have a planer.
No kidding.
I've never even seen one.
Yeah, I just got a, it's called a Grizzly drum sander.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dual drum. You feed the board in, and it hits the 80 grit sandpaper first. Then as it's coming out, it goes underneath of a piece of 100 or 120 grit. So it comes out fine sanded.
Oh, man. Now, that'd be excellent.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, now, this planer, let's talk about that for a minute. Do you move the wood across that, and it shaves off one side or something?
Yeah. I just crank it a little bit, about a quarter turn at a time, and it shaves it off the top of the board. I run it through that way a couple times and turn the board over.
Uh-huh.
You know, each time I run it through, I got to crank it closed a little bit more.
How big a stock are you working with, William? I mean, dimensions on these boards here.
Well, my planer's only... 12 and a half inches. I can run a 12-inch wide board through there.
Okay. Right.
Oh.
So is that what you have? Is that what this orange was? Or?
No, it was about 10 inches.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so you do it a little bit, and then as it goes through, you gradually crank the blade up to smooth it even more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To get it down to 3/4. When I got it was like an inch thick.
Yeah. So you end up with a lot of sawdust there, don't you?
Oh, too much.
You end up with a lot of orange wood sawdust, a lot of waste. I guess a guy, if he's really brilliant and brave, he could take some glue or some, you know, like they make plywood and make him a piece of fake board, I guess.
Well, that's what a lot of people do with the sawdust, like
sure
the sander.
Yeah.
They'll take and mix a little bit of glue in it and use it as a wood filler, like when you use a brad nail.
Yeah.
As long as you can get the mixture right.
It would be wonderful for that. I mean, it would be in also it would if you wanted to start a fire.
Yeah,
you work good for that too. So you ended up with several boards of this. What are you going to make out of this orange wood, sir?
A hutch.
A hutch.
Hutch. Yeah, I just start getting into doing the hutches.
And how about clocks?
Yeah, well, if someone orders one in Osage orange, I'll do them.
So, man, you got a lot of this wood if you're going to build a hutch.
Yeah, quite a bit of it.
All right, now you're totally blind, so you can't read a pattern. You could go to Lowe's if you could see. You could hike off to Lowe's or Home Depot, buy yourself a pattern for building a hutch. What did you? Let me guess. You looked at one and said, "Well, hell, I could do this, right?"
Yeah, my dad built one.
Okay.
He built his out of white pine.
All right.
And for the uprights, he's gonna. Make me a pattern out of Lawan.
Out of what?
Out of a piece of Lawan board.
I don't know what that is. You've
I think it's what they use for subflooring. It's only like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
To use for the pattern.
Yeah.
Is this some more? This is a synthetic wood right there. Right? Is it not something similar to particle board or?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
Yeah.
More. It's a little bit more durable.
Right.
But like the front of the uprights, it's like wavy. I'll cut that out on my router.
Mm-hmm. Now so you start this hutch by building a basic frame like you were going to build a kitchen cabinet, right?
Right.
Two by fours, and so you got something to nail to. Just build a frame, say. Oh, I don't know, 18 inches deep and how long? What are the dimensions about of this thing?
I think it's like 2.5 foot, 3 foot from left to right.
Okay.
Front to back, I think it's going to be 2 foot.
Okay. All right. So
just for the basic cover.
So basic frame, and then you put sides on it, or you put rails, or what do you do next?
Yeah, on top, I'll put two 1x12s. You know, for the uprights and put some shelves in it and put a backing on it.
Okay. 1x12 because it's a foot deep. And so that'll be the ends.
Right. And then plus give me I'll be able to put a 6-inch shelf in there and a 4-inch.
And then you'll put some rails on the front.
Yeah.
And you're going to put doors on this? You're going to build doors for this? And
no, I'll have a door on it.
You'll have a door, one
or
door.
Or two doors.
Two doors, side doors.
Yeah.
Now, the doors, how would you do those? You don't have stuff to build raised doors, do you?
Well, I got almost just like a cupboard door.
Uh-huh.
My router bit won't make the groove as deep. But I'll make it just like a regular kitchen cupboard door.
Like a raised panel door.
Right.
In other words, you'll go around the edge of a board and make a little raised panel door.
Yeah.
And then would you put some trim on it or what?
I get my planer. I can make my own trim, too.
Yeah.
My planer. I just had to get the blades for it, special blades for doing trim.
Man, you're set up.
Yeah.
I just got into... cutting out yard ornaments too.
And now this is with your router table.
Yeah.
How does tell us a little about that?
Well, I have it's called a pattern cutting bit. It's has a half inch shank, just like a drill bit.
Okay.
And it has a roller bearing on top. And I'll have someone cut me out a pattern, whatever I'm cutting out, and I'll just nail to the like a piece of oak, what I want cut. And I'll just, the pattern will follow the bearing. You know, I'll just keep moving it around until it's cut all the way out.
And it'll follow the top pattern because of the wheel?
Yep, because of the bearing.
Yeah.
Roller bearing.
If it's set exactly right, I guess it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
So, but you don't, so you're not using a fence in this case?
No.
You're
the bad thing about it.
You're just freehanding, sliding this thing around in a kind of a, in a circle, or kind of a circle, but along the edge, and then you make a little turn, and then.
Right.
So, man, your hands are really unprotected.
Well, I got a homemade guard. It goes across the top of the router bit. You know, I just got to keep my fingers standing upright on whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
And laying them down.
Yeah.
But I've cut out dolphins, pumpkins, letters. I'm cutting out some red oak letters for CAC, Community Advisory Council.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So once you've got the pattern, you just, right in the center, you just nail or screw the piece of wood stock you're going to use to the pattern.
Right. And I'll just use a couple of brad nails.
And then you start around, and you just ease around the corners, and this blade actually cuts.
Yeah.
It's actually cutting the wood rather than, it's a cutting blade rather than, you think of a router blade, you just run the edge of a something across your router, you know, it kind of cuts out a little beveled edge there or something.
Right.
Are you using this router coming up from the bottom or down? Are you holding the router in your hand and
No, the router's mounted underneath
the
table.
Yeah. Okay, at least so if you can get that bearing lined up on the edge of your stock, then if you keep your hand on top of your pattern, you're in pretty good shape, right?
Right.
Yeah, the bearing would have to be perfect.
Yeah, you'd have to have that bearing lined up perfectly and keep your hands. But, man, you got more nerve than I do, I think.
Yeah, what a deal.
Yeah, I have... last time I was on your show, I had a lot of orders go out. I'd just like to say thank you to all the people who's ordered something.
You mean you had some orders from the show, you think?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Well, that's real good.
Yeah.
Well, what a guy. Where's our commission?
Marv, I still have to finish up two sets of wind chimes I got to mail down there.
You do. You need to send us those wind chimes, and you may get some more orders from those even.
We're just giving you a hard time.
I'll be set up to...
One day?
Yeah.
On the computer, take credit cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Get all set up. You don't want to get too much in business, because the Internal Revenue Service will want a part of that if you do. I'd keep it low key. So you make wind chimes, you make clocks, you make yard ornaments.
Yeah. Yep.
And people can order those. And you want to give an address? You want to give a physical address or a phone number? Or what do you want to give?
My website's www.blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Yep.
All right.
And how do you ship these things to people?
Well, if someone... is interested this year for Christmas, if they put in an order before the 15th, I'll waive all shipping costs in the U.S.
Really?
Yes.
What a deal.
And so this is just this will run on about the 4th of December, so if you order before the 15th, and these things would make nice Christmas gifts. We looked at the clock, and it's really neat, and what was that? That's not the heat. I got the heat off. We don't want the heat anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I made a real big clock through the summer for our family reunion. It chimed every 15 minutes and every hour on the hour. I made it out of walnut, and we auctioned it off to raise money for next year reunion.
Yeah.
I think it went for $70.
Really? So so you were kind of the hero of the family there, doing those things.
Yeah, everybody brought something, but I figured I had the clock sitting out there, and I'll be adding more things to my website here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go and look at your site. Maybe we need to get Mr. Tim there to do a review on it.
Yeah,
it's not
I'm
going to
be coming out with a DVD, too.
With a what, a DVD cabinet?
A case?
Okay.
Right. So you're making a DVD to show your products and how they're made and things,
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's pretty neat. What? I know we talked about this, I guess, when you were on the show before, but now have you always been blind?
No. No, I lost my sight in my right eye when I was 15 years old with a paring knife.
Oh, man.
And lost a sight in my left eye July 6, 1996, cutting grass.
cutting grass.
Yeah.
Something just flew up in your eye and put it out.
Well, it's a piece of wire. It hit me up above my eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit the bone and it ricocheted, you know, bent and went down to the back of my eye and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Man.
Boy, there was somebody was determined for you not to be able to see, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do in a previous life before you lost your eyesight?
Well, I was a carpenter. Off and on, I built high-rise buildings and worked on a couple bridges and installed, like, chain-link fence, you know, with the razor wire on it.
Yeah. But with the razor wire on it, like for prisons?
Yeah.
You've always done some type of building.
Yeah, that's
construction.
Wild.
Yeah, what a deal, man.
So you had a little advantage on us being in that sort of business when you could see.
Yeah.
I'm
familiar with that. I got to get two more things, and I'll be done. I like to get a wood lathe, and I definitely have to get a dust collection system.
Yeah, you know, sounds like you could use that all right.
You don't have that yet?
Yeah. A dust collection system?
Yeah.
No. I know with this new drum sander.
You're going to need it.
Plenty of dust. Yeah, I have to have like 1,600 CFMs, you know, vacuum.
Really?
Yeah, because when I first got it, I ran a piece of wood through there, like 2 foot long, and about the third time I put it through there, it shot through it like a bullet.
Really?
From the buildup of the sawdust.
And that's not good.
No, I didn't think it would get that bad. So I haven't ran it for quite a while now.
So it came out the other end pretty good.
Yeah.
Between that and your planer, man, I bet you do stir.
Yeah.
Some mighty dust in that shop.
Well, you just need a big shop vac and those hoses run around. You know, that's easy enough to.
Well, I got the biggest shop vac Sears carries, and it still wasn't strong enough to keep the dust off of the piece of wood.
Off of that sander.
Yeah.
I mean, running that sander.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, somebody probably makes a bigger one than Sears.
Harbor Freight
industrial model.
The industrial
man
shop vac. Well, man, sounds like you got it going. And yard ornaments, you got patterns for what? For what all? Penguins and dolphins and
pumpkins. I try to get them for every holiday.
Christmas or Santas and things like that.
And I already have an order for one of the shadows. The guys that lean up against the wall or light post.
Yeah.
You know, I already got an order for one of them for the spring.
Well, that's a deal. Sounds like you're. Some orders and things are going good on that.
Little Christmas gifts, if we can sell a few of those, waiving the shipping. I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yeah, I've already had calls from Ireland.
Is that right?
Yeah, I got that call 2 weeks ago.
Really?
From Ireland.
Mm. Do you accept PayPal as a payment?
That's what I'm getting ready to get set up for. As soon as I add my other items.
Very good.
You know, I'm going to get set up for the PayPal.
All right.
Yeah,
that's the way I like to pay.
We know a guy who knows a lot about that, don't we?
Yep. PayPal's a great thing.
We know a fellow who's involved kind of with PayPal. He may be able to help you. His name is Don Shaw.
You get ready. If we need to talk about it sometime, shoot me an email and I'll give you a call or call me or something. You got my number. So.
Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah, are you on either one of our lists? Are you on the handyman list?
Neither list.
No, I'm not.
Well, you ought to be on the blind handyman list. You could probably help us a lot answering questions that people ask, because you seem to be, you know, very knowledgeable about this kind of thing.
Okay, what do I have to do to get signed up for that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don Shaw.
I could sign you up, in fact. If you've got a computer up and running and you're on the computer, I could sign you up, and you could always unsubscribe if it got too busy or whatever.
If you decide you got too many messages.
Yeah.
Or you could just send an email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That'll do it.
And that would do it also.
Put you on that list. We'd love to have you because we get questions, and we like to have experts on there that can answer these questions instead of us yokels like me and Sean who just kind of think we know.
Yeah.
We like those guys that have really been there. You know, we've got a guy on there with a degree in refrigeration. We've got Dale Campbell on there. Dale was a roofer for a long time, so we know a lot about those. But we'd love to have you if you'd join us, sir.
Okay, yeah, I'll sign up for it.
Give us your website one more time. Maybe we'll get an order or two for Christmas, William.
www.blindwoodcraftsman.com. And my email address is on there with my home phone number.
Blindwoodcraftsman. Wood Craftsman, that's all one word.
Yep.
At what? At
.com.
At just blindwoodcraftsman.com.
Your own domain.
That's all you need to know to get a hold of William Miller and order something neat, homemade, actually handcrafted Christmas gifts.
I use cherry oak, Osage orange now.
Yeah, you got plenty of Osage orange, don't you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, good luck, and we'll talk with you in a day or two, William. Thank you much,
all right,
sir.
Thank you.
All right, back with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Hi, my name's Donna. And for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
Love
to a warmer
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's Love is Blind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we formed this, started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a you know, good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Listening to the, no, that's right. That's not right. That's,
yeah.
Jan's not here today. I don't know where those are. All right, have them.
Got to find those.
I got to find those. Are they still on your? They're long since gone from your computer, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
They're somewhere here. I can't. I got so many. I remember when I first got CDs, and I keep them all in one little box. Man, I had 8 or 10 CDs, and they were
yeah, not anymore. Huh?
Oh, now I've got thousands.
Man, no kidding. I don't see how you keep. I thought about that. I don't see how you keep track of them.
Well, I just put things in certain places, and in the studio, there's nobody ever in here but me. Occasionally, and when Brian
well, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
When he babysits the house, I put up things that I know he's liable to move and lose. I just, you know, and, you know, all the things that I just keep laying around, I put all those in a certain place because he has no compunction. I mean, this CD doesn't have a label on it, so it couldn't be any good to anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
That yeah. Matters. And just let it rip.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. Cold, wet afternoon. It's terrible. Everybody's down.
Yeah, this weather, man, it's just...
Weather's just awful. Don Patterson's still building a garage, though, and... rafters, got one rafter up, and man, it looks good.
Yeah, we'll just kind of give you the little update.
Yeah.
You know, because the biggest thing with the rafters, you know, the joists were easy because you you could kind of, I could cut them before I put them up there. I kind of, yeah. I knew in a pretty safe. The rafters, I should be able to do that, but I just really don't have enough confidence in my, you know, the old saying, measure twice and cut once. But maybe I try to be too precise and everything. And of course, this is really would be a two-person job. Basically, what I'm handling is a 16-foot 2x6 is what I'm building the rafters. I actually on the internet and calculated the pitch of my roof, which turned out pretty accurate. 5/12 pitch. That means you go up in height 5 inches forever, 12 inches linear. And the angle at the ridge row then on that, according to the computer calculators, and just was about 22.6.
Did that work?
Well, on my saw, it locked in is 22.5. So that's what I used, and I can't tell the missing the 100th or the 10th of the
tenth
angle.
Of it. Yeah.
And
so at 22.5, they'd be half of 45.
Right.
And which it'll lock in fine.
Yeah. Locks in fine, and then you cut the other end. You're making the one cut on one end of the board that goes up against your ridge row. And then down on the bottom, you're making two cuts. You're making the same angle. The same 22.5 degree angle, and then you're cutting back. And there's, I feel bad about this. There are terms for these cuts, and I really don't know them. You know, most of the stuff I know is just somebody taught me. I learned from an uncle or somebody.
Yeah.
But if you were actually the scientific and a professional carpenter, there are terms for these cuts. But anyway, you make the one 22.5 degree the same direction.
Yeah.
It lays the same direction as your other end, and then you cut the bottom part. You'd have a little tail, and you cut that off even with your joist. So in other words, it looks like a 2x4. When you butt the ends together, both end, the end and the bottom of the rafter and the joist are flush with each other, the way I'm doing mine. And so
And you're using a metal thing that you lay the rafter in.
Well,
on
they made
top
a hanger.
Of the joist?
Yeah, yeah, they made a hanger that I was going to try it without hangers. And if I had help or like a two man, one person could have held and the other one hammered. But it's kind of difficult standing up there holding the board and trying to nail at the same time and keep it from moving.
Yeah.
I get one up there in place, but I was about a half an inch too low. So I had to take it loose. So luckily at our favorite big hardware store, they had these rafter hangers. And so I'm attaching them. And then you're fitting the rafter into that, and I'm using a screw just to hold it temporarily. I have my little electric drill, and it has a magnet type head on it, you know, that you can hold the screw. And so I'm putting that in there, and then taking all my measurements on the other end, and then of course I'm taking it down and cutting and then putting it back permanently.
Because you don't have nerve enough to just cut it and put it up there.
Well, I was, as we were talking about earlier before the show, I would probably do 3 or 4 in a row. And there's an old saying about cutting a board and then using it to cut the next board, and it's kind of like telling a story. Something sometimes gets left out, or gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
You're not as precise, and so you know, there again, carpenters that are working in groups, you've got one guy down operating the saw, and the guy up on top is calling down measurements to him, and then he goes from there. But for me to go to each board and take a measurement and cut it on the ground, I sort of am a great believer in show and tell. If I can get my board up there and mark it with a pencil where I want it, I know I'm going to be accurate. So it takes me longer. I'm doing double work, but, you know, I'm not really on a schedule, and I really don't care if I get through till next spring.
Yeah.
And so it's coming along. I figure on a good, if we had good weather, which we haven't had in the last couple of weeks.
No, we haven't.
I should be able to do like 4 or 5 of these a day. Well, there's not but 30 of them. So, you know, 6 days,
you've
7
got, a
days.
A week, you've got it done.
So
yeah,
then,
you got it.
Then covered. I'll be, then that's really the hardest part left of the construction, to the getting the rafters. So feel real comfortable with it.
Okay. Let me ask you one question. You're having a hard time holding this board. What if you did, just a thought. What if you just took a junk board, like a, say a 1x4, and tacked it to the edge of the house with some finishing nails of some kind to keep the rafter from sliding out of place?
Well, you could, and there again, these hangers do just that. They have a little lip on them that fits over the top of you. I have a 2x8
over the
ridge row. Yeah.
Okay.
The problem with doing it, like you're talking about a board, and I thought about that, is you would have to know exactly. I'm using a 2x8, and when you cut your 2x6 rafter at an angle, it's almost the two, it probably lacks a half inch being, well, because your 2x8 is really not 8 inches. It's, what, 7.5?
7.75 or something.
Something. And so then when I cut my 2x6 at an angle, it gains in length and in width. And so but I would have to be real precise there again to put this board to make sure it held my rafter right flush at the top. And the hanger, well, the hanger just solved all of my problem. I can actually put the board up there on the hanger and turn it loose. And get my nail and get my hammer, and it holds it in place. So that's what we've
got. Go, one more question. I don't understand what you're marking. I mean, you know they all go the same place, right at the top of the ridge row.
Well, no, but you have to mark for your joist. In other words, they're all going to one side of the joist.
Yeah.
And so you have to – I built a little thing, then I put my level on it where I go to the edge of the joist down, on the and then I go up and get it level, and that's where I make my mark, and then I know that's where the rafter goes. And then the rafter goes flush with the top of the ridge row.
Yeah.
But trying to hold it and nail it with
would be
one
difficult.
Hand, it bounces.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
It kicks back, and it goes up and down, and sometimes when you get your nail in there, you're a quarter of an inch or a half an inch off, and it wouldn't do good with your decking. So.
And you just don't like them drywall screws.
No, sir. I don't have as much confidence. Let me tell you, I bought some pretty hefty hex head wood screws that are like sheet metal screws, except they were for to go in wood, too. And just with my little, I have a little pivot electric drill, screwdriver. It's not even a drill. And did not have a pilot hole, and I drilled these dudes into my wood, a couple of them, and my little drill is so strong, I just broke the heads off of two
just
of them.
Just snapped the heads
off. Yeah,
I
couldn't believe it. So, and these were made for this job. So, but anyway, I think I'm going to get it done. They make a nail. It's a little short, probably inch, maybe inch and a quarter. I think it's just an inch long, and it's real fat, and it's called a hanger nail. And, man, if you put one of these in there, you can't. It's hard to get out even with your crowbar.
Yeah.
And they're not ring shank, but they're just fat. And when they put it in this hanger, through the metal hole in these hangers, and then it goes into that wood, it is a firm. And you can drive it in there with about three or four good hits on your
hand. Yeah, and I bet they don't bend easy either.
They don't bend, and they won't turn loose.
So they're like a roofing nail.
Yeah, it's called a hanger nail. And they're a little more expensive, about 10 cents more a pound.
But the hanger, then once you get the hanger up there, you put the rafter in it, then you can nail from the side.
From the side. It has four holes.
Little holes
there's
in there.
Four holes. And then down at the bottom on each side, I put a 16-penny nail, toenail in there against. Yeah. And so that's.
Boy, so it couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't go anywhere.
So you didn't put a hanger at the bottom. They make them also that go on the bottom of down at the wall.
Yeah, it would. Well, I have them on the joist, and then I have them up on the rafter, but on the bottom there's a spot left.
Okay. But you toenailed a nail in there.
Yeah, 16 on each side.
Never. There's going to be a pretty stout building.
Safety feature.
Yes, sir.
Safety.
Boy.
All right. Tornadoes. Yeah.
Well, remember this. You know, what a poor carpenter that's afraid to get up on his own structure. And so I want to make sure that when I'm decking this, that it's going to hold
kidding.
My 216-pound carcass.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, lead us into the ice maker. We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, we were gonna call get our resident ice maker guy who's just recently changed one.
Yeah.
I remember on a previous show, maybe two or three shows ago, this came up, and somebody's talking about, well, their ice and their ice maker froze.
Yeah, that was me, in fact.
And so I don't know if mine was overused with all the company I had and or the children love crushed ice. I think it's just they like to play with the ice maker.
That's it.
Yeah. But I always keep mine set on cubed. It seemed like I have better luck with it. But this time I went to get me ice, no ice. Nothing, just kind of hear it grinding. It wasn't set. I set it back on cubed, and I thought, man, with all this company, surely it's had time to make more ice. You know, maybe not, but so I opened it up, took the plastic thing off, and there's this big blob of ice. It's all my cubes, and I hit it a couple of times. I actually took a large chunk out, and it was just sort of in the beginning stages of, but my point is, I don't know what caused that. I don't know why. I haven't ever had this problem
before.
Yeah,
to all freeze together like that.
So maybe you could.
I can tell him. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you got that type of ice maker that does the crushed ice. So go ahead. Go for it.
Well, your kinfolks and your wife, the warden, y'all had the fridge open too much.
Okay.
You had the refrigerator open too much. That won't happen again. You had the refrigerator open because kids were coming by and opening the fridge to see what was in there. And did Daniel come? Oh, my God.
But we had. I mean, everybody. At one time, it was getting a workout.
Yeah, everybody was opening the fridge, and it couldn't do it. It just, they all ended up together. All ended up in a blob.
Froze together.
Yeah, don't you think so? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds logical to me. I've never dealt with the one that does crushed ice, so, but yeah, it sounds logical.
Well, you normally it's cube, you know, it does cube and crush ice, but I have never had, I've never seen one that really did crushed ice very good for very long that didn't seem to have some kind of problems.
See, ours froze together, and that's why originally the ice maker was taken out, because ours, our ice in the ice bucket, for lack of a better word, ice pan in the refrigerator, in the freezer, froze, all of our cubes froze together.
Yeah.
I said, man, we probably got a freezer problem for listeners that weren't listening to the last show. And what it turned out to be was the heating element on the bottom of the ice maker stayed on and heated the ice in the ice pan, and they all...
But then your ice maker was a lot older than you. You bought a new fridge and moved in this house, didn't you, Parrish?
Oh, yeah, and it's got, and it's the one appliance. I bought the 5-year. I mean, I don't care what happens to it, because Sears will come in my home and...
Yeah, replace it.
It doesn't matter.
Parts
that's
and labor,
right.
Yeah. For...
All right. Well, ice makers, Ridge Rose, hangers.
But another show down the line, we can talk a little bit about installing an ice maker, because I just did one. So
well, we'll
another
do that.
Show, we'll talk about that.
We'll do that next week, sir. That would be good of good interest to everybody. I think installing an ice maker, and it's a blind-friendly job.
It is.
If you did it, it can be
it
done.
It can be done. Can That's one thing about it.
If you did it, then Tim Cummings can do it. Well, we wouldn't go that far. But
it can be installed.
Anyway, thank you, sir. It had me a little worried, but everybody showed up, and we made it. Tom Houston, thank you. He's not here, but... Don Patterson, Don Shaw.
Yep, yeah. Another one down.
Let's go have a brewski and hope for the best.
Might as well.
All right. I see, said the blind man, as you picked up his hammer and saw him, Phil Parr. See you next week. Bye-bye.